Let's read from Acts chapter 6, the first 7 verses. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Sunday school this morning, our Sunday school children, your Sunday school children, are looking at Isaiah chapter 9 and 11. And Craig Venecton, who was our preacher last week, read chapter 9 last Sunday. Thought, oh dear. We'll leave Craig with chapter 9. I'm just going to take up chapter 11. Hear the word of the Lord. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And that day the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people to the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into 7 streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. This is the word of God. Congregation, one of the most iconic images, I think, that was captured during the war in the Pacific during World War II was this particular image of the Marines lifting up the Stars and Stripes on Iwo Jima. It was a rallying cry at the time to a country tired of hearing of losses in combat, and gave the impression that the battle was finally accomplished. Victory was at hand. In reality, there would still be 4 more weeks of bitter fighting before resistance would be crushed. But the spirit of the American people lifted with this image, with the image of their flag being raised over the battlefield. They bought war bonds to support the final push to bring an end to war and the beginning of peace. And it's this image that we might helpfully use to serve as a background for us as we come to Isaiah 11 this morning, and especially verse 10. And that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And it all begins with hope from nothing. Hope out of nothing. Hope out of a hopeless situation. Look at verse 1. Isaiah says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit." Isaiah pictures God's people as a tree. And that would be a good thing, except this tree has been cut down. It's no longer soaring at a lofty, majestic height, towering over the land. No, it has been felled to the ground. God has, in fact, felled the tree. His people have been disobedient to him. Not a very encouraging picture, let's be honest. His people, as we've already seen so far in Isaiah, have strayed from him. "I reared children," said the Lord God, "and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me." Oh, how the mighty have fallen. And when Assyria swept through the land of Israel and later Judah as well, what hope remained for the people? What hope remained for the few who escaped with their lives? What hope remained for the poor who lived in the land in their poverty while captives and the elite were marched off into captivity, into slavery overseas in foreign lands? What hope remained? The tree's been chopped down at the base. Only a stump remains. But where there's still a stump, there's hope. Maybe you've seen this for yourself at home. We cut down a jacaranda tree that was growing pretty much in one of our pathways, and we leveled it to the ground right at path level. Problem solved? No. Unless you grind out the roots, there's still hope. And hope at our place is now several meters tall. The stump sent up a shoot, and that became several, and now that's not insubstantial any longer. And that's God's promise here, a prophecy of what was to come, that out of nothing, out of the bare stump that remained of his people, would come hope. And I want you to see this morning, friends, that it is a grand hope that's promised. It's hope that comes from the stump of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Jesse's King David's father. And that's interesting, because nearly everywhere else in the Old Testament, the kings that followed David are described as sons of David. They served in the line of David. They served the house of David, the kingdom of David. But God's hope rests in a shoot not coming from the stump of David, but from the stump of Jesse. And what that means, friends, is another David is coming. A king who loves God with all his heart, like David did, in a branch that will bear fruit. But the stump remained barren for years, hundreds of years, in fact, and then it sent out a shoot, a glorious shoot. King David's greatest son was born, the Lord Jesus. Jesus who, as verse 2 goes on to describe, would have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. Jesus, the leader that God's people longed for. And how does Isaiah describe him? Verses 3 and following. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. And Isaiah is picturing for us Jesus. Jesus who is all that we long for in the leader. Jesus who is someone we can rally around. He makes decisions after investigating the facts, not relying on gossip or hearsay. He acts rightly always and cares for the poor, not simply ruling for the rich. He stands up and defends God's people from the wicked. Faithfulness will surround him in all that he does. And in a sense, this morning, we could even say that Jesus exemplified what we look for and appreciate in a deacon. Someone who acts rightly, who cares for the needy, who defends the rights of the oppressed, a faithful friend. Someone upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rests, filled with the Spirit and with spiritual wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And friends, that's what the early church experienced with the blessing of the first deacons. The first deacons who came into this situation of racial disharmony, racial disunity that we read of before, and brought peace and blessing to the church. They were not merely waiting on tables. They were serving as peacemakers. Blessed of the Lord. Hope arises from nothing. The Lord Jesus comes, hope from nothing. A banner for the needy. But not just for the needy, he's also hope for creation. If you still have your Bibles open or up on the screen, cast your eyes to verses 6 through 9. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hands into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, the world as God created it was a place of peace. A world of peace, a world in which the animals lived in peaceful coexistence. A world without death, which is one clear reason why the entire evolutionary theory is clearly at odds with Christianity. The world began as a world of peace, not of war. Peace between us and the rest of the animal kingdom. Peace between the animal kingdom, sharing the world and living from its fruits. And of course, that's not the world we live in now, is it? We live in a world red in tooth and claw, a violent animal kingdom, a world in which we can see the beauty of a documentary from David Attenborough, side by side with him showing us images of an animal killing animal in a fight for survival. And who's to blame? We're to blame. We brought the curse into the world. We introduced the deadly environmental threat, the deadly environmental virus that's contaminated everything and anything that there is. That curse, that virus came through our sinful disobedience to the loving creator of the world. And the world groans. Creation itself, Paul tells us in Romans, longs for a Savior, cries out for a Savior to redeem itself, cries out for relief. And you know, we look around us and we see the environmentalist. We see the Great Barrier Reef Protector. We see the climate change activists, the vegan, the anti-Adani movement. And their cries are, I believe you could say, in part, the cries of creation. They are giving voice and expression to the longing of the world to be saved. Don't dismiss their cries and write them off as fanatic. The world longs to be saved from us. Saved from the sinful havoc and violence that we have wrought upon the world. The world longs to return to peace. And friends, that is a right longing. And Isaiah tells us that the Savior, the Prince of Peace, will bring this peace. Other people express the cries and the longing, and they have their own ideas for how to save and redeem the world. But Isaiah tells us that the Savior will do this. That a time is coming when the world will live in harmony once again, when creation is renewed and will never again experience corruption. Something glorious to look forward to when Jesus returns. And if it's glorious, which it is, I wonder why sometimes we as conservative Christians sometimes seem to allow the environmental movement to lack competition. For we are working towards, we are longing for an even greater vision than they have. We have something better to rally behind. We have someone better to rally behind and to long for. Someone who will make all things new. Someone who will take chaos and brokenness and find beauty from chaos and glory from ruin. We hope for creation, hope in Jesus, a banner for the world. And not only hope for creation, he's also, Isaiah tells us, hope for the nations. Look down at verses 10 through 12. And that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnant of his people from lots of places. And he will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. And friends, if Isaiah has just been speaking of what hope there is for the world, a hope of restoration and peace for the world, he's now describing a great homecoming. He's describing something which is the reversal of the Tower of Babel when all the languages of the world were scattered. It's the reversal of the exiles in which God's people were scattered to the four corners of the earth, to the four winds. No, Isaiah tells us, the banner will be raised. The banner will be raised tall and glorious, and the nations will rally to him. They will stream to Jesus because Jesus is all glorious. In Jesus, we find unity. In Jesus, we can rally. In Jesus, we can find hope. In Jesus, we find those things, friends. The vision of Isaiah of the nations streaming to Jesus began at the day of Pentecost. The nations were gathered. They heard the message of Jesus in their own languages. They came to faith. They rallied to the cross of Jesus, and it was glorious. Thousands believing and baptized. And yet it isn't all smooth sailing. That great and glorious time in the early church is when the problems began. And we read of those before in Acts chapter 6 when the Hebrew-speaking widows got the food parcels, but the Greek-speaking widows were left in the Centrelink queue for hours upon end with no help. The two have become one. Ephesians 2, which you looked at together last week, the two have become one. And yet we haven't got the memo. Well, we got the memo, but the implications eluded us. As I alluded to before, that was the reason why the first deacons were appointed. Not just to feed people, an important thing. They were appointed to restore racial unity, to overcome disharmony, to bring reconciliation amongst God's people. That was the task of the deacons. And look at us. We're beginning to resemble the nations as it should be. Where are we from? We're from Australia and South Africa and New Zealand and the Solomon Islands and the Netherlands and the Philippines and probably a whole bunch more. We are the scattered people of God from the four winds of the earth, the four corners of the earth, and God has made us one. And long may it continue. And may God continue to add to our ethnic diversity, to highlight the truth of Isaiah, that he rallies all the nations together in Jesus. That Jesus is for people of every background, every ethnicity, every race, every people. That's why we reach out to all people, to show that hope in Jesus is a hope for everyone. That's why we've been seeking to share our hope with newly arrived residents in our city from northern Iraq and Syria and Congo and the Sudan, to show love because the love of Jesus is for everyone. There's no other name in heaven which can be found, through which we are redeemed, through whom God's grace abounds. No other name can save but Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Mel and Barb, along with Jenny and Yvonne, help us to see this. Help draw us together. Help us to rally underneath the banner of Jesus. Help us to overcome our differences. Help us to find unity together in the gospel. Help us to reach out in love. Help us in the office of deacon that God has called you to. Friends, a flag can rally a nation in a time of war. That's true. We have something better. We have someone better. He's hope for the nations. He's a banner for all peoples. His name is Jesus. And he is our lasting hope. Amen. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray.